Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today I'm being joined by Devin. Of course, if you are tuning in for the first time for season four, y'all know Sheree's having a baby. And so Devin is going to be co-host in and out throughout this season. So she's joining us again today. Yay.
Hi.
And so we are sipping on two different things today. I am sipping on, and I think I mentioned this last week, but y'all are about to get nothing but red from me this season. It's literally all I have in the house, and I have not been to the liquor store in a while. I have an abundance of wine, and so you're going to get a whole bunch of Merlot recommendations is pretty much what it boils down to. But Sheree will be popping in with her free wines when she's on, and then Devin will have a little bit more variety than I do. But I am sipping on a brand called Monarch. It has a huge butterfly on it. If you know what a Monarch butterfly looks like, that's what's on the bottle. And it is a 2020 Merlot. And it is, of course, Sasha and Sheree approved because it is 14%. But according to the website, it has deep extracted aromas of prune, blackberry, and cherry. There are also lingering tobacco and chocolate notes in the finish. That should be interesting because I don't smoke. It says that this is, the way that they write these descriptions is hilarious to me. It says, in the mouth, the attack is filled with raspberry and blueberry characters, followed by layers of tannins building from the fruit and oak. So whatever that means. Nuances come from toast levels. It ranges from medium plus to heavy. And the tannic crescendo embellishes the mouthfeel and finish. And it's actually a sustainably grown Merlot.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So let's just give it a taste test. I see you like frantically trying to search on this bottle.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on over there.
Are you trying to find the alcohol content for your bottle?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, I was like, you keep looking. Yeah, this is just a regular Merlot. It is. It's a little actually sweet. Sweeter really? Than I expected. Which is interesting because they said that the mouthfeel was heavy, medium to heavy. It's definitely not. It's a lighter wine for sure. It's not bad though. I'll drink a Merlot all day. So
So I have to tell you that I was actually Googling one of the fruits that are in my wine because I've never heard of it. Yes.
I could have told. I knew that.
I don't know what the hell that is.
They're like look like grapes, don't they?
It kind of looks like a grape, raspberry, strawberry.
You all named together. Three separate fruits.
Like rolled into one.
I don't even know if that's how you say it. That's how I. Oh, it does. It looks like it looks like a. Strawberry. Raspberry grape. That is a very accurate description.
Thank you.
Interesting. It is native to Southeast Asia. And it's a favorite fruit of the Cantonese since ancient times. Interesting. Well, Devin is sipping on a Prophecy Sauvignon Blanc that is from New Zealand. It says it has flavors of grapefruit. I'm going to say lychee. I don't know if that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And Meyer lemon, which offers a crisp citrus refreshment, complemented by aromas of fresh cut grass and cool sea air. And it's a traditional and refreshing Sauvignon Blanc. Thoughts?
Why do I want something that has aromas of grass?
It's supposed to make you feel like it's fresh.
It does smell very fresh.
Sheree and I had one wine, though, that it was a, I don't think it was a Sauvignon Blanc, but it was a white wine that literally smelled like apples. Like, it was like, this is what apples smell like. It didn't taste like apples, which was weird.
It definitely smells outdoorsy and citrusy. Let's see what it tastes like. Oh, this is good. I like this.
You sound surprised.
I am. this was gifted to me, so I wasn't sure how I would feel about it, but it's not too dry, but it's not too sweet.
That's why I will drink a Sauvignon Blanc. If you have been a listener for a while, y'all know I don't do white wines. But the only white wine I will do is a Sauvignon Blanc. And it is because it's on the drier side for white wines, but it's not super dry and it's also not sweet.
Yeah, this is really good. It's a really good table wine.
Is it Sasha and Sheree approved?
It's not. I'm sorry.
Most white wines aren't. It's hard to get a white wine there.
Yeah, it's 12.5%.
Oh,
so I probably need to pour like 3 glasses of this. It's good though. I like it. I'll have some of this with my dinner.
That's good. Most white wines really work well for the season that we're in right now.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself on the porch just sipping this.
Exactly. Like as the weather starts warming up, they also good for a lot of white wines are good for sangrias because drier white wines work well with sangrias. And not fruity ones because it allows the actual fruit that you put in that sangria to have like a flavor.
I have a ton of fruit in there that is probably almost overripe. So perfect sangria. Just
throw it in a pitcher, cut it up, put some wine in it, and it'll be fine. And then eat the fruit after because then it'll be soaked.
I am about to do that.
I'm going to send you, this is totally off tangent, you guys. We're going to get to whatever the topic is about in a second. I'm going to send you a story that I saved from Instagram on a sangria mix.
I love sangria.
What is her name? I'm going to look her up real quick. She's actually pretty popular on Instagram and she makes like recipes and stuff like that. But she shared a sangria recipe that looked pretty tasty. And I don't drink a lot of sangria. The Funny Mama. There we go. It's a strawberry, peach, and rosé sangria. Of course, you can switch out rosé for like a white wine. Yeah. But I do it has strawberry wine. And peaches and oranges in it. And it looks delicious.
Oh, I'm totally... That sounds amazing.
Yeah. But anyway, so today's episode, we are actually going to be diving into the mental health conversations today because y'all know that we really are big advocates of getting mental health, going to therapy, doing the work to like be in the right headspace all of the time. But we wanted to talk about specifically how to maintain friendships when you are dealing with mental health issues. And so Devin, I feel like this is about to be a horrible sentence. Devin be having some mental health issues.
Hey, no more direct way to put that.
But they are well deserved. It's not like they came out of nowhere.
Correct. Correct.
So do you want to tell us what some of them are?
Some of them, shit.
Well, because I think a lot of people, I mean, some of yours, I think, are very your circumstance specific.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of yours were... what's the word I'm looking for? They were compounded by like COVID.
Correct.
So like you're naturally probably an anxious person.
Yeah. So I have a host of mental illnesses. So I have anxiety, which was pretty manageable pre-pandemic. But once the pandemic happened, my anxiety was just completely out of control. And I spiraled into panic disorders. I was basically having panic attacks every day because I was like terrified I was going to die or my kids were going to die or my family, somebody was going to die. It was really bad.
I'm not laughing because it's funny.
No, just because you've been here this whole ride. So so it was really bad like in the beginning. And honestly, probably up until a year ago, or even a few months ago.
I was going to say, can we talk like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I finally started seeing a therapist and a psychiatrist. I was also diagnosed with agoraphobia, which basically means
people.
Yeah. Any like crowded places, going out.
My aunt has that. Like not like diagnosed, but she gets very overwhelmed. Like even if it's around like family, like if we have a birthday party for like Stokely, Like, it's a lot for her to be around a lot of people.
Exactly. It doesn't matter who it is.
Retreats into herself.
Yeah. And a lot of that stems from not having control over the situation, because there's so many different variables. You don't know what to expect. So it really heightens your anxiety. Then in the pandemic, I really started to struggle with depression, just because obviously it sucked. We ended up being in the house way longer than anyone anticipated. I was sad because my anxiety was so bad. I hated worrying and just endlessly about everything. But I feel like I started to get to a decent place with therapy, and eventually I started taking antidepressants, and they really helped. Even though I was so against it at first, like, I did not want to be a zombie or anything.
I think that's most people.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
They help. I mean, if I had cancer or diabetes or whatever, like, I would take the medicine. But with mental health, it's totally different. So it definitely impacted friendships. Some more
not
than
ours, though.
Yeah, not ours.
Not that type of friend, guys.
But not everyone was as understanding of me retreating into my safe space, which was my home. I stopped communicating with people as much, just because I felt like, hey, if I don't talk to you, you won't invite me to go anywhere.
As an introvert, I'm always like, you know, I'm not going to come.
Yeah.
But just invite me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just want to be invited.
Exactly. Don't leave me out. But
and then, like, when I do go, you'll be so surprised. And everyone's like, oh, Sasha's here. And I'm like, I live for that feeling. And I think part of it is narcissistic, because I'm always like, I just want the feeling that people want me to be here.
Exactly. Like, exactly. That is totally me. So I feel like that got to a manageable place, and I started venturing out a little bit. Like, I came to your house a few times. We hung out. We went some places.
Last summer.
Yeah. Last
time I've seen Devin in person was her son's birthday last July.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, hell. Okay. Well, y'all see this. She's a real one, because she's stuck
we
around.
We see each other on the computer all the time, and we literally probably talk every day.
All day, every day. So I think one reason we have been able to maintain our friendship is because I've been able to be transparent with you about my struggles, what makes me uncomfortable, and also because you're an introvert too. So you're cool with not going out all the time.
So I want to touch on that, because one thing I noticed, and this happened with another friend, like, I know, like, sometimes when you, like, if I would say, oh, like, we should go out to drinks, like, you would not, like, you wouldn't respond to that, and you would just, like, move on to something else. And then you would respond, like, a couple hours later, or days later, or something like that. You're like, oh, like, I didn't know how to say it, but I just don't feel comfortable. And I feel like, and this isn't to you specifically, but, like, generally speaking, if you have friends who are like that, like, make your friends feel comfortable, because I don't want you to feel that you can't be open and honest and be like, yo, this makes me uncomfortable, but I don't know how to tell you that, right? Yeah. Like, that makes me nervous. Because I actually had another friend who's pregnant, and we don't speak that often, but we had been talking back and forth, and she's normally, I've known her since elementary school. Like, I can send her, like, a meme randomly, and she does the same thing. And I reached out and was like, hey, how's the baby going? And she didn't respond. And then I, like, text her, like, some random meme that I saw. She didn't respond. And so I was like, hey, you know, just checking in. Like, are you okay? Still didn't respond. Reached out on Facebook. Still didn't respond. So I ended up messaging her husband on Facebook and was like, yo, is your wife okay? Because I reached out a couple of times and I heard from her. And so then she, like, immediately texted me and was like, she's just super stressed out, because her baby's due in June. Like, she's, like, has all this work that she's trying to transition over, and she's, like, it's just mentally, like, causing, you know, taking a toll on her. And I was just like, okay, cool. Like, no worries. I just wanted to make sure you were alive. Like, Now that I know that that's what you're going through, like, whenever you want to reach out, and then that will be fine. Or if I text you, don't feel like you have to respond right away. Like, it's cool. We can, like, I know now that you're going through things. And I actually saw, I think it was on TikTok, some guy who had said that he, in a similar situation, he was like, you know, life was happening. He had a lot of stuff going on. And a couple of like two different friends had reached out to him, and their responses essentially to his response saying, can't really talk right now. I've been busy. I'm going to be busy for the foreseeable future. So like, just bear with me type stuff. Two of the responses he got essentially made it so that he knew whether or not these people were going to stay friends in his life, because one responded was like, oh, well, you know, I just was trying to talk to you, and like essentially bashing him for not being available.
Right.
And then the other friend was like, okay, cool. Like, just let me know like when you're free. And like those two responses were like, now he knows one is probably going to be a friend for a long time, and the other one he doesn't want anything to do with.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, you know, in the beginning, it's uncomfortable telling people that you're uncomfortable because you don't want to be judged, or you don't want to make it seem like you don't want to spend time with them, or you don't value their friendship. And then the way that, you know, mental health works, you get anxious about how that person's going to respond to what you have to say, or how it's going to make them feel. So just the whole receiving that message and thinking of a response is overwhelming in itself, which is why typically I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to ignore that, and we're going to keep moving with the conversation. And then after I've had time to think about it, or sometimes I'm like, how should I ask my husband, like, what should I say to this? And he's like, what the hell do you mean? Just say you don't feel comfortable. And once he kind of enables me or makes me feel comfortable with saying I don't feel comfortable, then I can come back and say that. I feel like I'm a lot more comfortable with it now, just because I've been very transparent with everyone about how I feel about stuff and my mental health struggles. Like, I'm not secretive about them at all. But in the beginning, it was embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing. It was embarrassing that I was struggling with those things and everyone else was seemingly able to, you know, move on with their lives.
I think you have to meet your friends where they are. Because, like, Devin and I have had conversations where I knew she's been anxious about going out and, like, being in places, seeing people. And I think you have to know how to approach your friends, I think, is what it comes down to. Because I was very much like, yeah, I respect that, but also I don't want you to turn into a hermit, so like, make sure like you're working on that, because yeah, I don't want it to become like a bigger problem where you can't go out, because that's a thing. Like, if you don't address problems when they start, they turn in this a snowball, they'll turn into a bigger shit. And then right, what starts off as you just being, you know, somewhat anxious being around people or being outside turns into like, I can't leave my house.
Right. Exactly. And I really respected that. Like, when you said that to me, I talked to Q about it. I was like, I have so much love and respect for that, because it's like, you genuinely care. Like, it's like, okay, I'll give you your space. But at the same time, I think you said, I'm going to push you, but not like aggressively, like in a loving, nurturing type of way to get you
like
out.
We can go somewhere outside, or like we can go somewhere at like noon when not a lot of people are out, or like, you know, like something like that. Like, you got to meet your friends where they are.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of why, like I said, we've been able to maintain our friendship. Even though I went right back into my hole. So even we did get to a really good place. Like I said, I was coming over Sasha's house. She was coming to my house. Like, we were going back and forth. We were hanging out, whatever. And then like these variants started coming. And I was like, nah, I'm not messing with any of that. Like, I'm just not. So I went right back into my hole. And then again, we got to a pretty good place. I was like, you know, nobody's really, I mean, people were dying, obviously. But, you know, I was vaxxed. I was boosted. My oldest was vaccinated. I was like, okay, we're cool. Then my parents died. My parents died 32 days apart, as you know. And that just took me to a totally different place, because grief, obviously, was a huge part of it. But then also it ramped up my anxiety and depression again. And for one, I was pissed, because I was like, I had just gotten this under control. And then I felt like I was right back at square one. I also felt like I did not want to bring down other people, which I told you, like, I'm sad all of the time. I don't want to be out and then suddenly start crying. And then everyone else is sad and our whole little happy hours ruined or something like that.
I was on a, this is not related at all. I was on a Zoom call yesterday and I have a new client in my business and it was my first like intro meeting and there's like a team and the, one of the girls, like they're going around sharing wins and one of the girls legit got to her and I don't mind, it's the first time I've ever met this woman. I don't know what's going on in her life. She legit started crying because someone else had said like they took their dog to the vet and that was a win. And so I don't know if she lost a pet or if she's just been struggling and having a really hard time. But I think like, I think that's too where you have to, again, know your friends, because like if you are going through shit, you should be able to experience emotions in front of your friend.
That is
like,
true.
And real friends will be like, oh, like it, like if we went out and you started crying because like you got sad, I'd be like, oh, like I'm, you know, it's okay. I'm sorry. Okay, like here, like drink this, like because you like there's appropriate amount of like I'm gonna pat you on your back and then also like let's try to bring you out of that so you don't ruin your night, like your night, not my night. You're not gonna ruin my night, but like your night. Like I don't want you to feel a certain way.
Right. And I think that also ties into me being an empath. Like I care so much about other people's feelings and. I'm also feelings.
Other people.
So it's like I don't want to bring them down. I don't want other people to have to deal with my shit, like stuff like that, because anything can trigger me. I can see a fucking somebody with their mom or something, you know, something seemingly stupid, especially in the beginning, and be fucking sobbing and snotting and all kinds of stuff. I mean, we've been talking. Shit, this just happened to us, what, last week? You sent me something on Pinterest and I haven't been on Pinterest in months. And the first notification I had after yours was from my mom, like 2 days before she died. And I was fucked up, like no snotty, all kinds of shit. So I didn't voice memo you back because I was like, I don't want you to hear me like that. But I also feel comfortable sharing with you like, hey, like that fucked me up. And you were very compassionate and then you were like, yeah, and we're going back to planning this office. Like, let's
I was like, oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. But don't let yourself like get into like a sad mental place. Also, do you like this desk?
Exactly. But seriously, I don't know. I don't want to cry on this podcast, but
it's okay, girl. You can cry.
Okay. I appreciate you so much because I've been able to tell you like some of my deepest thoughts, feelings, sorrows, my struggles, things that are embarrassing, things that I don't feel comfortable expressing myself, but I feel like I can express them to you. So I appreciate that. And that's like, and that's like a true friend. Like they need, it has to be somebody you feel comfortable talking to and telling your worst. Like Sasha has been here for me through my lowest. Like losing my parents was my lowest. And she, I think you're the first person I text. I'm pretty sure you're the first person I text when I found out my mom died.
I was not prepared for your level of emotion.
I'm pretty sure I just texted and said my mom's dead.
And you I was were like, wait, what? We were at Dick's. And I was like, I'm with my husband and I'm with Richard and Stokely. And I was like, Devin's mom just died. I'm like, what do I call her? Like, what am I supposed to do right now? Like, and I did call you and I was like, I don't know what to say, but I'm really sorry. And I'm here if you need me. And we were actually getting ready to go out of town.
Yeah. I do remember that.
And this is why you need a circle, because I had called one of our other friends.
Yes.
And was like, I'm going out of town like in 2 days, so I can't help her. But if she needs help, like reach out to her and help her. Like if she needs somebody to go to the house, if she needs somebody to go to her mom's house, like help clean up shit. Like I was like, because that's gonna be hard. So please like help her. And that's like, that's the whole, to me, that's the whole point of having friends. Like I'm very much, I am judgy. I'm not even gonna fake like I'm not judgy, but I also try not to judge my friends in a like, because like I'm a low key like judge you on the inside, but I'm never gonna express it to you. Like I'm not gonna feel, make you feel bad for your decisions, because at the end of the day, we're all adults. So like you're gonna do what you want to do, and my job is to support you. Like I'll tell you like, yeah, that's a good idea, or no, that's not a good idea. but if you do it, like, make sure you're X, Y, and Z about it. And it's the same way, like, when you've been through, like, going through your mental health issues and things like that, it's very much like, hey, I know you don't want to go out, but also don't get stuck in the house. Like,
yeah,
try to push yourself a little bit. Cause you don't want this to be like a thing. Right. So, and I think that's really kind of what it boils down to, is you have to know your friends. You have to be able to have your friends trust you and be able to have them be vulnerable with you. Cause I think that's a big part of it. Like, I think we think people are going to judge us. And like I said, I do judge my friends, but not in a way that will ever hurt them. Like, but it's not in a way that's ever going to hurt them. Like, it's all, you know, if anything, it's judgy, like, oh, I feel bad for them. Or like, oh, they're going through some crazy shit right now. Like, it's like stuff like that.
I'm pretty sure you said that to me like 800 times. Like, yo, this is crazy as shit. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah, your situation. I feel bad for you. Yeah, I still feel bad for you.
Because it's still going on. My parents died 5 and 6 months ago, and dealing with the estate and all this other bullshit. But I'm able to vent to you, like, and I appreciate that. Or, like, your dad died
11.
Fuck, it is 11 years ago.
I think it'll be, hold on, what year are we? It'll be 12 years. It's 12 years this Christmas.
It is. And that's another a weird way that we were connected, because my grandma died a few days before your dad. Mm. Was it a few days? She died on the 21st.
Oh, my dad passed away Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So literally we
I don't know what day Christmas Eve is. We celebrate it. I don't know what day Christmas is, because we celebrate Christmas Eve. So I'm always like, there we go.
Yeah. So like 3 days apart, two people super important to us passed away. So that's another way that we were connected. So again, I feel like you understand, because I don't know a lot of people that have lost their dads. I definitely don't know people that have lost their moms, and that's totally different. Like, of course I'm sad my dad died. I miss the hell out of him. But my mom, like, that is, it's inexplainable. And I've been having a hard time the past few weeks, just because Mother's Day is coming up and all of my clients are doing Mother's Day shit. So it's like in my face all day, every day. But you've also helped me cope with this year of first. Yeah. And another thing that's important in our friendship is you are completely transparent, blunt. You will tell me how it is. You won't tell me, you know, it's,
I was about to say,
better. Or
every time you post something about your mom, and I know that you loved your mom and you miss your mom, I'm always like, I remember when Devin used to complain like shit about how her mom blew the fuck out of her. Like,
yes, my parents blew my fucking life, because they were habitual line steppers. They were obsessed with my kids. They would pop the fuck up all the time. And I would give anything for one of them to knock on my fucking door unannounced right now. But yes, I did complain about them. We did bump heads. But losing your parents is like, it's inexplainable. And plus, I thought I would have my mom to go through, you know, the journey of not having my dad. And now I don't have either of them. And I've taken on so much bullshit. But I've been able to complain about all this shit to you. Before they were gone, when they were gone, and now. But yeah, I mean, I guess all of this to say, like, don't be embarrassed about you. Like, I didn't make my brain the way that it is. It's honestly, it's hereditary. My mom had severe depression for years.
So, like, I wanted to kind of just, before it gets too sad, to talk about the other mental health issues that Devin has. Because don't worry, she has more than one. I wanted to ask, do you think, so Devin has ADHD. She makes it known. Like, everyone who knows her knows that she has it. Do you think that that affects how you handle your friendships, or I guess the flip of it, like how your friends deal with you?
That's a really good question. So first, a lot of people that have depression and anxiety also have ADHD, or vice versa. People that have ADHD have depression and anxiety. I definitely think that plays a part with my friendships too, because for one, I will totally forget. Like, we can be talking, and this happens all the time, and I'll respond hours later because I sat my phone down somewhere and started doing something else. Or we're talking and doing voice memos, and I will completely forget what I was talking about mid-voice memo. And I'll be like, oh, shit. And then I'll just send you another one when I figure it out.
This is all real life, guys.
This is real life. You'll ask me something and, oh, anytime we're trying to schedule something, like if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't happen because I will totally forget.
I feel like that's not an ADHD thing.
That's everyone. But
I'm very much like, if you ain't on this planner right here, then I don't know what you're talking about.
But like you told me we were recording today at 3 and you didn't put it on my calendar. So I put it on my own calendar because
it on my calendar.
Okay. Because it would not have happened. But definitely the forgetfulness. And then I would also say that I'm super flighty. Like it's not intentional. And I think, again, it's good that I've been transparent and that you understand so that you don't think that I'm like flaking on you or blowing you off.
I do think you're flighty. I think you're flighty.
Yeah, super.
Without the ADHD. I think that's just your personality.
So yeah, I definitely think like I forget to message people back. It's just me and people understand. Like same thing if we're talking, like because obviously people know that we also work together too. I'm so easily sidetracked. It's so hard for me to stay on task. We were recording and you'll probably edit it out, but I was playing with something in my hands because I can't sit still and I dropped it.
I need a fidget spinner thingy. Yeah. Isn't well, that for like anxious people or the little pop-it thingies?
I have all of that.
The things for children?
Yes. Actually, they're mouse, but I have cuffed a few of them because they're really good. But it's a worry stone. You just kind of move your hand around on it. It's a grown-up fidget. But I dropped it. So
obviously having ADHD and like diagnosed anxiety and your depression are like actual mental things. But I don't think it's especially now, like with COVID being a thing, I feel like so many people have had just so many issues mentally.
Yeah.
Because I started going to a therapist I started in December.
And I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, it had nothing to do. I'm not anxious about anything. I don't have ADHD. And I'm not depressed. But I have, like, issues. Like,
And therapy's not, and I'm glad you said that, because therapy's not just for people that have mental health issues.
Diagnosable issues, yeah.
Yeah, one of my new clients is a behavioral health practice, and there's so many things that it can help you with, being a better communicator, dealing with stress, dealing with anger, like just anything that you're struggling with and you need a unbiased third party, like therapy.
Yeah, I've definitely, amazing. Like in my therapy stuff, I've gone to sessions and like, I've been thinking about this. And I made a connection from here to here. And I'm pretty sure this is like why the way.
Yeah.
Like why I am the way that I am. And my therapist would be like, oh, I'm so like happy that you're thinking about these things outside of session. And like you're making those connections and stuff like that. And it's just helpful. I mean, we're in our 30s. We're in our mid 30s. It's helpful to know why we approach situations the way that we do. And exactly. Why we're the way we are. Fun fact, because what I came to a realization with why I feel like I always have to do things and why I feel like sitting on the couch is me being lazy. And I've decided it comes down to when I was a kid, if I'm an only child, we've talked about this before. So a lot of times if I was sitting like in my room, binge watching TV or something, if I'm downstairs doing nothing, my parents, my dad in particular, would tell me, like, why don't you go, like, do something productive? And he never meant it in a way, like, you're being lazy. But essentially, it was like, go do something with yourself. Like, why are you just sitting here? Like, right. Go play outside or, like, you know, go clean your room or, like, go do something productive. And apparently, I have internalized that to the fact that I don't know how to sit my ass down.
No, you don't.
And am involved in way too many things.
That makes sense. Look at you therapizing yourself. I love it. That makes a lot of sense though.
And that's the thing. Like, I think we all have our own mental health struggles, whether it's diagnosable or not. Like, just because you go to a therapist does not mean that they're going to come out and tell you that you have ADHD or you suffer from depression or things like that. But we all have our own trauma. And I really don't like that word.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it has a negative connotation. and it comes up a lot in therapy, but trauma isn't necessarily something negative. It's just something that has happened to us repeatedly and
made some type of impact.
Yeah, and it forces us to respond a certain way. It's why we respond to things a certain way. So we all have that. And, you know, the older you get, the more you have that shit. So talk to somebody about it. Like,
just to talk. Exactly. There's so much stigma around mental health and therapy, and especially for Black and Brown people. Like, go talk to somebody, and nobody has to know. Nobody has to know. You can do it from the comfort of your own home.
See, I do it from right here. I do my therapy every Monday.
Exactly. I see my therapist every Friday because I need to unpack my week, and there's nothing wrong with it. Nobody has to know. But even if they do.
Yeah, I have no, like, I told all of my girlfriends, like, my ladies' night girls and Sheree, like, all of them. Sheree is a therapist, so of course, like, I don't want to be therapized by her, though. Like,
yeah.
She's not nice to me about it. But, like, I've told them, like, oh, I started seeing a therapist, like, you know, and they're like, oh, cool. Like, how's it going for you? Like, do you think it's helping? And they're, you know, and yeah, I do. Like, I think it's helped me be more vocal about things. I think it helps me handle situations differently than I would have in the past. It helps me understand myself better.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for women especially, because society and the world in general conditions us to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we fall outside of those norms, we're like, why? Or like, what's wrong with us? Or like, why do things make us so sensitive? Or why do we handle things a certain way? Why can't we like sit down and do nothing without feeling guilty about it? Like stuff like that.
And exactly. Getting
to know yourself better helps.
I think that's been my biggest takeaway from therapy is understanding myself more, knowing my triggers, knowing why my brain works the way that it does. Like, I feel like I know myself better. And it's not just all about, granted, I have my mental health issues, but I talk about normal shit, like my teenager pissing me off and me wanting to wring his throat. Like, I ask her for advice, like, what the fuck do I do here? Like, being overwhelmed with being a wife, mother, businesswoman, like, being touched out during the day. Like, I don't want you to fucking touch me. I don't want you to talk to me. Like, I talk to her about all this stuff. And it's helpful to be able to talk to somebody that hears you and is completely unbiased. So they will tell you how it is, right or wrong.
And I think it helps you to approach your friendships in a different way because you can ask your friends to meet you where you are. Like, it is hard, I think, dealing with when you, and I've had my moments. I mean, when my dad passed away, I retreated very much into myself and the nature of me. I am very, I don't express myself to a lot of people. Like, my husband could tell you he doesn't know when I'm upset or sad, because I don't, you will not visually be able to see it on me unless like I feel like letting you into that. I hardly ever talked to my friends when my dad passed away. Like, I would be sitting at, I lived by myself at the time. I'm sitting at home, barely eating, crying, you know, at night and stuff like that. And I didn't talk to anybody about it. And a lot of people just assumed I was okay. And so, and I think that goes into being a Black and Brown woman because stigma wise, like, you're supposed to be, like, you're not supposed to show any of that stuff. I think had I had a therapist at that time, I would have been able to like talk to some of my friends and say, like, I need help right now. Like, just check on me.
Right. Exactly.
Bring me some food or something. But that's what it is. It gives you like the tools to ask for that. And point blank, I'm going to say this as the friend who is on the other side of having friends that have dealt with things in their life. If you think your friendship is all about you and you get upset that your friends can't be there for you in the midst of their own shit, then you need to reevaluate yourself because the goal of friendships are not self-serving. Like, our friends, yes, are there for us, but we also need to be there for our friends 100%. And understand that sometimes they are going through things and they can't mentally take on what we might be going through.
That's true. I love that.
Yeah, like, you can just be like, or like, have a conversation like, hey, Devin, I know you got a lot going on, but I really gotta like vent about this.
Yeah, and then it's just like, okay, I'm gonna put my shit aside for a moment so that I can be a good friend.
So just know your friends, people. That's really what it boils down to. Know your friends.
Yeah. And if you are struggling with mental health or something, don't be ashamed, because there's a lot more people fucked up in the head than you think.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I am a firm believer that we all have our own special type of crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean crazy in a derogatory way. Like, I will proudly own my craziness. I've been called a spicy Latina and a crazy Latina my entire life. And I own that shit 100%. I am the stereotype. Like, I will, earrings off, let's go. Like, I am proud of that. When Richard was doing some shit, I'd be driving around, where he at? Like, we about to go find him. Like, I have called my friends and been like, oh, I'm going to jail today. Like, if I find him, it's going to be a problem. I have no qualms about that. That's who I am. I've recognized it. I'm okay with that. We all have our own kind of crazy. Like, yeah. We all have things that we deal with that make us act a certain way, that make us respond to things a certain way. And when it comes to our friendships, it's more so just about, I think, just meeting your friends where they are.
Yep.
And not outwardly judging them.
100%. Outwardly judging them. Shit, now I need to know what the hell you be thinking about me.
It's never anything negative. I always am just like, she got a lot going on.
And that I do, always.
But I'm like that with all my friends. Like, I've had situations where my friends have had, like, attitudes and stuff, and I've just been like, I guess they just have a lot going on.
Dealing with some shit, girl.
Yeah, like, and then you just give them space. Like, exactly. You know, like, or you're like, yo, you good? Like, what's happening right now? Are you okay? Like, I've had friends like that. Like, it's fine. Like, that's just the nature of being adults and having friends.
Exactly.
So I think the ultimate message here is go get a therapist.
Yes. Go find you a damn therapist. Psychology Today. Go look.
That's where I found mine.
Yep. See, thanks me to too. Devin. Me too.
And I found mine's is a black woman. There's not a lot of Spanish women.
There are not a lot of Hispanic. No, they're not.
Not in this area.
Yeah. Oh, I also want to say caveat really quick. Don't be embarrassed to find your kid a therapist either.
Oh, yeah, because you do. Your kids go to therapy.
My 14-year-old goes to therapy. He's been going to therapy for a long fucking time. And it literally saved his life. So,
we've talked about this, not so much the kids, but like Sheree's husband has been on. We talked about this even within my own friend circle, like Sheree's husband and my male friends. And they tout like that they probably should go to therapy and how therapy, they haven't done it yet, but like how it could help them.
Yeah.
And like, they're trying to break their own stigma about being black men going to therapy. But do you know how like much better people would be
if people just did it? Like, if it was as normal as going to see your fucking primary care doctor.
Like, yeah. Like, just go talk to somebody.
Your brain is an organ, people. Like, it needs help too.
Yeah. Like, just talk to somebody.
And kids these days go through so much shit, way more shit than when we were kids. So get that baby a therapist.
Can we talk about how that causes its own anxiety? Yeah. Like, I struggle. If I get anxious about anything, it's about what I do that's going to cause Stokely to have issues.
Yeah.
Because I'm a firm believer that a lot of the way that we act and respond to shit is all a result of our parenting and how 100%. We were treated as kids.
They fucked me up. Thanks, guys.
And it's like, what level of fucked upness am I going to have to give to Stokely?
That's why my child is in therapy.
Yeah. Just know you fucking your kids up on some level, people. Like, just know that. Just give them the skills to cope with it.
Exactly. Then they'll round out and be good humans.
Well, we, of course, would love if you guys are comfortable with sharing. You can always share the struggles that you have been going through, whether it's been through COVID or before, mental health-wise. Sheree and I always stress the importance of talking to somebody and getting your mental health checked and in order, because it is surprising how much literally having an hour-long conversation with somebody once a week, once a month can help you mentally. And as women, as moms, as wives, we need that. Like, we need to be able to release that stuff to somebody who can come at it objectively. So we would love to hear your stories about it. what maybe you've been struggling with and how it's affected your friendship. So you can always check us out on Instagram. I'm sure there's a conversation happening right now. We're at Swirl and Sip Podcast, or you can send us an email at swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure that you are following the show on all of your major podcast platforms, and go ahead and give it a like or a review. The reviews help other people find the show, and we always want to share important conversations like this, and so we want more people to be able to follow and find Swirl and Sip. I think that's all my stuff. I always stumble on my spiel. Oh yes, follow us on Patreon if you want to support the show and you love us enough to give us some money. So you can join us on patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. We do special behind the scenes things and vino corners where we talk more about our wine, and we share just more about our lives that isn't on Instagram, on Patreon. So you can follow us on patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. And as always, have your wine glasses ready for our next episode.
Bye.